Hallelujah. Give him some praise tonight. May be seated tonight. John 3:16. Love hurts. We have a tendency today to look at love through a prism in which other people paint for us. So when we look at love, we see love based off what the culture say that love should look like. The problem with that is that the world don't understand love. And so in order for the world to understand love, that love must be understood through Christ Jesus. You can have strong feelings and emotions towards someone, but that may not necessarily be love. The proof is we can marry someone and get a divorce, and then next year we want to destroy the person. Now, when did you stop loving a person? Because if you really have a godly love for someone, the more crazy they do, the more you love them, not want to get back at them. Remember, there's a difference between loving someone and liking someone. See, we can easily like someone as long as they're doing something for us. But when they stop doing something for us, life won't keep you. Only love will keep you. Okay? And so, in entering any type of relationship, at the core of your relationship should be love. It is from love that you get to build friendship. Well, let's be friends and then we'll be lovers later. You won't make it. Okay? Because if I do something to you, then you're going to walk out on me, because we're still in this stage of getting to know one another. Okay? Now, just because I love you doesn't mean that we have to be in an intimate relationship. Some people, it's hard to love them. Because if you say to that person that you love them, instantly they think that you want to date them. I didn't say that. I said, I love you, a godly love. There are some people in your life that every time you say to that person that you love them, they always do something crazy to scare you. But you didn't mean that kind of love. See, we're twisted when it comes to love. Okay, so God deals with an erased love, and that is a passionate bedroom sexual type love. Honey, I love you, and ooh, you just turned my world around. All this kind of stuff. Okay, that's that pillow talk. And then there's a philios love. That's a conditional brotherly love where I love you as long as you're loving me. I love you as long as you're doing something for me. But when you stop doing whatever, sugar daddy, sugar mama, then I have a right to stop loving you. It's a conditional love. But God is teaching agape love, unconditional love. God is teaching us to love the unlovable, to love those that scandalize your name, that call you everything but a child of God. And then he says, now love them now. Yeah. Come on, now? Yeah. See, sometimes it's really, really hard to not necessarily love a person, but to show your love. Yeah. Okay? And so love is not about what you say. Love is about what you show. So if you love someone, you have to show that person that you love them. It meant absolutely nothing for God to say, I love the world, without giving us his only begotten son. Because what's the proof to us that God loves us? So the proof, he says, in that I gave you my very, very best. So we go through life looking at love based off what somebody else has painted for us. And so when we find love, we think in love is the solution to all our problems. And so if you empty before before you go into a relationship, being in a relationship, in a loving relationship, if you're still empty, you're going to be empty in the relationship. So sometimes what we do is that we push ourselves on someone. We want someone to fulfill us in a way that only God can. And then, baby, I don't know what it is, but you just don't make me happy anymore. It's because you're miserable. So if you're miserable because you don't have the right relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't care how much somebody love you, kiss you, fly you to Florida, and take you back to Mexico, you still gonna be messed up. Okay? You have to find the love within yourself.
Amen.
The first person that you have to fall in love with is you. If you don't love you, how can you expect for me to fulfill the love of you? Because if you don't love you, it makes no difference what I do, because you don't even know what love feels like anyway. So we then split, and then 5 years later we discover that was real love back then. But we had to grow to that point. And so what God is trying to teach us is that love is not what you say, love is what you do. So we can say I love you, but if we say I love you and there's no action, then if there's no action, there's no proof that love exists right there. Okay? And so what God is teaching us is that I love you so much that I gave you my very best. Okay? So why was it necessary for God to prove his love for us? Why was that necessary? Because if he created the universe and he said to the ocean, stop right here. He said to the tree, you grow here. And he commanded all these things. And then he gave mankind through Adam life. Why was it then necessary for him to turn around and prove his love? See, when you're in a relationship with anyone, you quite often have to prove how much you love a person. And in proving that, it's not proving it when everything is going great. Oh, anybody can do that. It's when you feel like walking out, but you turn around and you humble yourself, right or wrong, makes no difference, and say, I love you, I'm committed to you, I'm going to stay with you, and we're going to work this thing out together. That's love. See, love is not some little childish feeling like, oh, you make me feel good. What do you do on the days when they don't make you feel good, but they're the source of you feeling bad? Do you still love them on that day? You see, only agape love is the unconditional love where you understand that you're in a relationship. Now, once you go into a relationship with a person, you're in a covenant relationship. It's an agreement with that person. And so because you're now in an agreement with that person, you've made a vow to that person. And I'm not just speaking about marriage. I'm just speaking about you saying to someone, I choose to be your friend. Or maybe you don't say that, but your action convinced that person that you are a friend. And now that person is banking on you to be a friend. And then that person goes through tough times, and then you disappear. See, you have to know who you're in a relationship with. And the person that you're in a relationship with, they must come in the relationship complete in and of themselves. Because if they're not complete, then they're going to wear you out. Do I look all right? How does this look on me? And how does this fit? And so they're going to wear you out with their insecurities. And then if you mess around and tell the truth, then they mad with you because you said that really doesn't go well with what you wear. I thought you loved me. I do love you. Shouldn't I have the right to say the truth to you? See, you can never be in this healthy relationship with a person who is insecure. So we first have to have a better understanding of love, and that is that love is not how I feel about a person or any situation. Love is my commitment to it.
Amen.
When I understand that I'm committed to it, then I understand that I just can't walk away from my commitment.
Amen.
See, commitment today, it doesn't mean what commitment you used to mean. When you entered into a relationship, a commitment with someone, then you were really just sewn together. But today, if you're not the latest thing, then they go and find somebody else. If you're not the it crowd today, then they go find another crowd. There's very little commitment in our society today. And so if we're not committing to one another, how in the world do we expect to show someone the love of Christ and we can't get along with one another?
Amen.
God goes back to this place of in the garden where Adam and Eve is, and Adam sinned and Eve sinned, and so there they are in the garden. And so as a result of Adam and Eve's sin, sin came into mankind's life, and because all of us is born into the bloodline of Adam and Eve, when you are born, no one has to teach you how to sin. It's already in you. You already know how to do that because it's in your bloodline. Has anybody ever told you, you just like your daddy, you just like your mama? And the truth of the matter is, you really are just like Adam and Eve. By nature, we'll sin on a drop of a dime.
Amen.
That's who we are. That's our nature. So that's why it was necessary for God to give us Jesus Christ. And when God gave us Jesus Christ, the most important thing that Jesus did was that he shed blood so that his blood can now correct the blood of Adam and Eve. So it's no longer the bloodline of Adam and Eve that we live under when we're born again. We now accept this new blood. So that's why this chapter begins, and Jesus is having this conversation, and he's talking about a man named Nicodemus who is old, and he says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. So Nicodemus, this educated person, educated according to the world's knowledge and books, but you have no common sense or spiritual minded. See, it amazed me sometimes when people look at other people and say, you didn't attend college. So they try to limit what you're going to do in life. But they have a degree, but they're too cute to do something. And there you are understanding, I got to do what I got to do. And so now you get promoted and they educated, getting nothing at all. But they hating on you, wondering why God is making a way out of no way for you. Because I'm not doing this thing based off my resume, I'm doing this thing based off my relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
See, God opened doors that your resumes cannot even knock on the door. God will favor you in a way in which your haters will be confused that, how did you do that? Because I thought I had my feet on your neck. I thought I knocked you out of the picture, and here you are back into the game, and you now my supervisor. How you do that? Nobody but God. See, the love of God will take you further than anything else in life. And so what God is trying to teach us is that we must be born again. We must retrain our thought.
Yes.
See, we have to learn to be in the world but not of the world. We have to learn that, yes, we're living here, but this is not our home. So our mindset should not be on the things of this world. Who cares if the unemployment rate is 8.5 or 8.7? That means nothing to the church. Nothing. It means nothing if everybody else is losing their job, losing their home, losing their care. It means nothing to you in the church because your rules, your set of standards of living is not the same as the world. Because, you know, God will take your little job and make you unemployed and then sit you in your house and you still have leftovers when you didn't have leftovers when you were working 50, 60 hours a week. Nobody but God would do that for you. See, God is trying to teach us to trust him. To trust him. When we begin to put our faith and our trust in God, then we understand that it's not about us, it's about him. So what we understand about ourselves is that every day we sin. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how much you pray, speak in tongues, and shake it. It makes no difference. Every single day, you sin. Now watch what Romans says, the book of Romans, Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin. So this is what he's saying. He says, the wages of sin. So he says, now you're born again. You have to then be creative to sin. So you got to work wages, work in order to sin. Because now you have a new nature and the old bloodline is gone. So nobody have to tell you right from wrong, because the blood of Jesus is upon your life. Before you do it, you already convicted of it. Now you may say, God, I'm going to go through with this one. But you already know what you're about to do. So he says the wages of sin is death. So every time you sin, you should die. That's what he said. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. Now, gift, we're talking about giving. And remember, we're talking about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gifted to the world. So this is what happened. When Jesus was on the cross and he died, that was the propitiation for our sin. Because the wages of sin is death. Somebody got to pay. Jesus says, God, send me. I'll be one payment for mankind. And so when he died on the cross, every time you sin, paid in full. Yes, Satan, I know you want to bring it up again. Paid in full. Yes, I know you saw me in trouble. Paid in full. Yes, I know I fell down. Paid in full. Because Jesus paid it all.
Yes.
Amen.
He paid it all.
Amen.
But here we are.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if God gonna forgive me. I don't know if I deserve that. I don't care what I don't deserve. If he's gifting, giving it away, just give it to me anyway. I make on Christmas, you don't say I deserve this. You say give it to me right here. And God is saying, I don't care what you deserve. I sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. It's not about what how good you are and what you deserve. It's about my love for you. So he says, for God. In other words, God's actions, reasons behind everything that he does is love. His only motivation is love. If you can get the love walk down, everything else will line up. But you got to get the love walk down. Now, in order for you to get the love walk down, listen, there must be forgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgiveness. Because you can't walk in love and hold grudges against man.
Amen.
You gotta forgive. So here's how God demonstrates his love. The first thing he does is that he sends Jesus Christ to show the world, I forgive you for your sins. Forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is a beautiful word. Love to use it in church. The problem with forgiveness is on the day I need to forgive you and I'm standing face to face with you and you did crazy, forgiveness is not easy anymore. Because then I began to remember everything you did, try to do to me. I remember what you said. I remember who you said it with. And so instead of me saying let go, something is coming out and saying busting inside his head because of what they did. And God is saying, but where am I in this? Because you're supposed to be walking in love. So he says, God's motivation is love. And so you call yourself a Christian, which is property of Christ and Christ-like. He says, you walk like God. You walk in love too. But God, do you know what they did to me? He said, nothing. They tried to, but no weapon formed against you.
Yes.
They do nothing to you.
Yes.
They tried.
Yes.
That didn't even work. If anything, you ought to give your haters and your critics credit for making you stronger and more blessed than ever before. Because if they had not lied on you, talked about you, called you everything, you would not have prayed as much as you prayed. So thank God for your haters and your critics tonight, because they got you to where you are now. For God so loved the world. So his motivation is always love that he gave. So then he moves from forgiveness that he gave, which means that here is free. How many of you know that everything that is free is not necessarily cheap?
Amen.
You may open your hands and receive something, but that doesn't mean it's cheap. That doesn't mean that that's the end of it. Let me move close to your house. Okay, you lay down with the wrong person and you didn't pay anything for it. But you get out with some stuff that costs you a lot. You understand what I'm saying? See, just because something is free doesn't mean that it's cheap. Just because somebody gives you something doesn't mean that it doesn't come with some actions on your part. So it says, yeah, God gave it to you, and now it was free when he gave it to you, but now your salvation is not something that you get to wear and everybody leave you alone. Wouldn't life be great if you became a Christian the day that you did? Everything just lined up in your life. The car tires last for 9 million miles and the plumbing never breaks. Wouldn't all that be great and everybody liked you, but you found yourself joining the church and total opposite happened in your life. When you was in the world, it looked like everything just lasts forever. Like you was, you know, in the desert, where they walked around in the desert, the shoes never worn out, but as soon as you gave Christ your life, it didn't seem like you need a new pair of shoes every day. The car break down and this happened and nobody liked you, and you thinking like, God, I gave you my life. What's going on? I thought if I came to church, everything would be all right. But don't you know that your troubles have your name on them? The only reason that God allows you to go through what you're going through now is because of everything that you've gone through in your past. He says you prepare for this.
Amen.
So God makes sure that you're prepared and you have victory before you take one step.
Amen.
See, when you understand that, then you begin to go through something. Hey, it seems like everybody disappeared and the world is quiet and you don't know if you're going to make it. You have to understand that it's just a test.
Amen.
Not temptation. Temptation at the core have even. Test says, God says, I love you and you're coming out. I don't know when I'm going to make it to the other side, but God said, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. I may be limping when I get there. My credit may be bad when I get there. I may be alone when I get there. I may have one leg when I get there. But if God said, we're going to make it, we're going to make it. And I know that his grace is sufficient. In the meantime, see, sometimes we want to understand everything about God, and God is saying, but I'm giving you something. It's free. So it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He went from forgiveness to free. He gave his only begotten son. Now, the difference again between you and I and Jesus is that we are children of God, but we are not his only begotten son. The difference is we're born into Adam's bloodline. We're born with sin already in us. That's the reason why Joseph is not Jesus' father, because when a child is born, the baby gets the father bloodline. And so the Holy Spirit says, step away, Joseph. We don't need you. Mary, you come to the Holy Spirit. And so she became impregnated because of the work of God. And so her bloodline was clean. So when she gave birth to Jesus Christ, he was God's only and beloved son. No sin, nowhere. So they go from forgiveness, you look like I lost you there, from forgiveness to being free. And then he says, for whosoever. So he moves from free to freedom. He says, whosoever. It's a choice. Now, God could program all of us so that God said, turn right, we turn right, turn left, turn left. But God wants us to choose him, to make a choice. See, because to do otherwise, Satan says they only did it because you made them do it. And so God says, well, have you considered my servant Job? I wonder what Job was doing. I wonder who asked Job did he want to be involved in that situation. So do you really think God is going to ask you, hey, do you want to take a test for me? Hey, is this a good day for you? No. He comes on the worst day of your life and says, here's the test. Okay, God, I'm praying to you. And generally, you can hear the voice of God. But the moment you begin to go through something, it seems like God just shut up. God, where are you when I begin to go through something? And God is saying, you've already prepared for it. So when you start taking your test, the instructor just be quiet. Look at the faith that God has in you. Even if you stumble, that doesn't mean that you can't get up. So he moves from forgiveness to being free to freedom. He says, you choose whosoever, but you got to make that choice. And so God is saying, I'm making it available for you to make that choice. And if you choose me, he says, I'll empower you to do what it is that I call you to do. And so once we understand the freedom that we have to make the choice in life, he says, whosoever will. He says, it doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, what's your background, all of that is irrelevant. He says, whosoever believeth. The thing I like about belief is that belief doesn't cost me anything. So I don't need you for me to believe. Therefore, I can't blame you if I'm not where God wants me to be, because it's about faith. The Bible declares it is impossible to please God without faith. So you can't say, well, God, I didn't have enough money. I didn't live here. I didn't drive this. I didn't work there. He says, none of that. Did you believe?
Amen.
That's all you have to do is believe. See, we have the power within our mind. And I don't mean mind over matter. I don't mean that. I mean that so as a man thinketh, so is he. So when I begin to think that I'm coming out of this thing, when I begin to think that you can't hurt me, when I begin to think that God is going to make a way, when I begin to think that God is my deliverer, when I begin to think that God is going to save me through this process,
amen,
then that's what I line up with.
Amen.
So he says, whosoever believeth in him, not on him, in him. It must be a personal relationship. You abide in him and he abide in you. You can't go to heaven predicated off mama and daddy and coming to church. You know, just because you sit in church don't make you a Christian any more than you walking through the garage make you a car.
Amen.
Or going to McDonald's make you a burger.
Mm-hmm.
You have to allow Christ inside of you. So he says, whosoever believes. Anyone that believes. So what he's saying is that we all have the same opportunities for our blessings. Okay? So whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. And I struggle with everlasting in closing. Everlasting, I discovered, everlasting has to do in a different way from eternity. Watch this. Eternal has to do with no beginning and no ending. Simple, right? Everlasting has to do with something that is reoccurring, which means that you're going to fall down in the process, but he'll lift you right back up. So you're going through something and you fall down and you want to give up. God is saying, get up. Shut up. What you crying for? But God, you don't know what they did to me, man. But God, you just... He said, get up. Get up. Because I love you. You understand the love that God has for you and I?
Amen.
And so being a Christian doesn't come without pain. Love hurts. See, love doesn't hurt until you love. Because before you committed to something, I don't care what you do, I don't feel anything, but it's those that you love the deepest that hurt you the most, and you says, I wish I didn't love that person that much and I can get over that. But God is saying, no, you're showing someone how to love the unlovable, and you're showing them how to do it at a time where they don't reciprocate the love. But God is saying, but you do your part. Love hurts. Being in a relationship, loving someone, hey, you're taking a chance. Your heart may get broken. But any heart that is broken, God can mend a broken heart. Have you been blessed tonight? We certainly thank God for you tonight, and we thank God.